Here we are on Monday, the 25th of January 2010, and we've been invited round to the house of Ken Daniel in Gloucester. This is Malcolm King, by the way. I have John Thayers with me. And
I'm only too pleased to welcome you here and to talk about my loved game of rugby.
Oh, thanks very much, Ken. Indeed, born and bred in Gloucester, but also into a rugby-playing family. And I think that goes back as far as your grandfather. Can you tell us about him?
Well, he was a well-known athlete in the area. He didn't play for Gloucester because I think he was born in 1845. But he travelled the country and ran in various events. And I've got various prizes that he has left with us. So he was a very well-known athlete of his day.
And he was Henry Daniel.
Henry Daniel, yes, yes.
But he played rugby as well?
Played for Gloucester Hornets, which was a club side in those days, but I know very little about that as a club.
Well, and it sounds from his age as though he may well have played before the Gloucester
the club
was actually formed. If we move on then to your father, Norman Daniel.
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about his playing career?
Well, he obviously served in the First World War, and he played for his regiment. And on returning to Gloucester, he went down onto the ground and took the trials. And he played with such big names as Tom Voice, Tom Millington, and really some of the very old international players of that day.
Having had a look at the honours boards in the Lions Den at King's Home, I see he appears on the honours boards from 1920 to 1924.
Yes. Well, I think he started with the United on that cap there at 1919, so he must have gone with the United first and then eventually came into the first side.
Yeah. Well, I think you had to play 21 games to get onto the honours board, he probably didn't do that in the first team on 1919-20.
I have got a memento from him of taking place in a game where Newport came to King's Home unbeaten, and the side won, of which my father was in, and they were presented with silver cigarette cases contributed by people within the town, and I've got it with a score on the back, which is a thing that I shall treasure.
Lovely thing to have.
And
I noticed looking through the records for those seasons that he always seemed to start the season with a bang. He seemed to score two or even three tries in the first game of the season.
Very much so. He was obviously played on the wing, and he was extremely fast, which counted for a lot in those days, yes. It was reputed, and he has told me this, and I remember it quite well, that on the wing in those days, if you became boxed in right against the touchline, he worked with Tom Voice in perfecting the cross kick, which sent the ball into the centre of the field, and Voice would be there rampaging up the centre of the field. And this apparently, he says, that the cross kick was developed in those years, which is rather interesting.
I suppose as an athlete, he'd be fitter at the start of the season than the rest of the team.
Very much
because
so.
Because he'd been running during the summer.
And that occurred in my case as well, which you were quite fit on starting the season, in effect.
Yeah.
Because the training in our day wasn't quite as it is of today, and we trained just two nights a week, which consisted of just running round the ground, in effect, and having a bath.
And a pint of beer?
Yeah, a pint of beer, possibly, afterwards.
Well, I noticed your father, Norman, certainly started with a bang when he got into the first team, because he scored 18 tries in that 1920-21 season, which is a very good return. If he was making a lot of tries for Tom Voice as well.
Well, it's part, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Going on from there, I did want to say that he didn't play many years, as I didn't actually, probably four or five years. Mm. But at that time, it was in 1925 that he finished his career, because it, when it started, 1920. Yeah. And in that period, two of the very well-known and one, a very personal friend, had died due to the injuries in those seasons, yeah. Stan Bayliss and Sid Brown.
Yeah.
And I was coming along and born in 1925, so that I think with the family, because I had an elder brother, times he decided then to end his rugby days.
Well, and I think Sid Brown must have played most of the seasons that your father did as
yes,
well.
Yes, they did, yes.
He was vice-captain of the team at the time he died.
And of course, the general strike was in 1926, and I don't think things were that easy then with bringing up a family. So,
So obviously you never saw your father play.
No.
But what did he tell you about his fellow players? I mean, you've mentioned Tom Voice.
Tom Voice.
What did he have to say about Tom Voice?
Tom Voice was a wild character and a rampaging and a very, very charismatic player. Of course, he was on the committee when I played then, so I knew him from that as well. But the other players he very often highlighted was Tom Millington, who, when I went to work at Fieldings, the local Atlas Works, he was my boss, Tom Millington, so that we talked rugby and about my father.
Right.
So it was interesting. Yeah. Yes.
And do you have any memories from that, of what was said in those conversations?
Well, we always had the argument of who of the two of us were probably the fastest, and he would never answer this question. I think we were both fairly quick.
And how about Tom Millington as a player?
Very, very solid, and one of the record point scorers for kicking of goals at that stage, wasn't he? And he very often talked about Tom Millington. And then there were some hefty forwards around in those days that came up from the Forest. I think Biddy Holford-Ferdin, and a few others. The names of they just go through my mind, because I never saw any of them. And
well, in fact, I have here, Ken, a list of the people who appeared on the honours board for each of those seasons.
Yes,
perhaps I could put it in front of you and see if any of the names trigger memories.
Father Dix, yes, he'd spoken about him. He was a little. He was the fellow that got up to all sorts of tricks at the scrum. He was the scrum half, and he dummied the ball in and all sorts of things like that. And I think he told me a story of the fact that he was close to England playing, and when they came down to King's Home, he cleared his nose in front of them, in front of the stand, which didn't go down very well, because he never got a cap, I don't think, but he was a very good player with Millington at halfback.
Yeah.
Yes, Father Dix, Sid Smart.
Now, presumably you knew Sid Smart.
Yes,
because he'd still been around the club in your day.
Yes, he was on the committee.
Yeah,
and he would come and talk to you, and very calming sort of fellow. Yes, but he was big. He was a big man for training, and he was superbly fit. Yeah. It's reputed that he would walk to the games against Stroud, set out from Gloucester and walk up over horse pools before the game against Stroud.
Extraordinary.
Yes. Then he had a son that played with me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What was the son's name?
Sid again.
Oh, another Sid.
Yes. I don't think he played that very much, but he was certainly playing in those days. Mm. Yeah. Ah, no, that was the Forest Man, Tart Hall.
Yeah.
Tart Hall, they called him, and they those foresters were quite heavy and hard players. And that name he's spoken to me about, Frank Ayliffe.
Well, I guess the one who had the reputation of being the hardest of all was Bumps Carpenter.
Yes, yes.
Who came along a bit
later.
Who came
a little bit later, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever see him play?
I did, but I was about 8 or 9 years old then, and I was taken there to those games by my father.
Are there any other names there that bring back memories?
Well, that's the Sid Brown. Well, I wonder where the Stan Bayliss was then. Did he come afterwards?
He came a bit later. That's the 1920-21 season we've been looking at. If we turn over the page, we can look at later years.
There he is. Major Roderick. My dad spoke about him. Oh. He was in the army, and in those days he would come and in the dressing room apply talcum powder, which was unheard of with some of the other players. Major Roderick, yes.
Thought that was a bit fancy, did they?
Oh, that was a bit fancy, yes. That was unheard of with the Forest forward and the rest of the forward. Major Roderick. That's a name that did spring right up. Yeah.
He obviously made his mark as a player.
And
played for the county as well.
Yes.
And then if we turn over to 1923-4, which is getting towards the end of your father's playing career. Yes.
Well, I came along in 25, you see. Well, Sid Brown was still playing then.
Yeah.
And that's maybe when he was in... Well, I haven't got the date when he died, actually.
I think that was 25, wasn't it?
I think so.
So it was when I was born then, wasn't it, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in fact, for both of them, the citizen organised a public collection for the widows and children.
There were thousands there, apparently.
Yeah. Well, and it was clearly regarded as a major tragedy in the city.
Yeah, I mean, it was unheard of, really.
Yeah.